number 78 of the NLC podcast. I am Andrew, joined today by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hello.
And no jousting this week. John has some other things to attend to this week, so hopefully we'll be able to entertain you with just two Australian accents this week and not our beloved guru from Vermont. If there are any awkward moments, we can rest assured they will not be as awkward as Donald Sterling's latest interview.
Well, that went so well.
Yes, hopefully this podcast goes a little bit smoother than that chat with Anderson Cooper, and I'm sure it will, because that certainly was bizarre. But nevertheless, we do have more positive things to talk about than Mr. Sterling's bizarre comments. Basketball, video games, the usual topics. Some good things to talk about this week. We, once again, are waiting for the next set of previews to come along, but a couple of notes to talk about nevertheless, so let's get right to it. And something that happened earlier today, from when we were recording this, Ben, that I just posted a bulletin about a little while ago on the site, a couple of hours before we started recording, the NBA Live 14 Gamer of the Year, which EA Sports are currently holding. Currently holding a contest to name the Gamer of the Year for NBA Live 14. They've selected a few, I think, YouTubers and other gamers who play NBA Live 14 and other, what they're calling, brand ambassadors.
You mean I didn't get nominated for playing the demo as many times as I did?
I was going to say...
I feel ripped off. I feel ripped.
I'm not sure you would have qualified, even with all your great works in the past, as playing the demo. I mean, I'm ranked in the top 20 on the leaderboard for live seasons. I mean, come on. but they've chosen some people who have had have been playing the game a lot this year, and notable Ultimate Team success, I believe, looking at the profiles. So that's, I guess, how they've selected it. So you can currently go over to the article on the official NBA Live website and vote for who you think should be Game of the Year. They have it in a bracket set up, so you can... vote between the people they've got matched up against one another, and over the next couple of weeks they will be selecting the Gamer of the Year for NBA Live 14, who will be winning a trip to the 2014 NBA Finals. Not a bad prize, accommodation and airfare paid for. So considering we're outside the States, Ben, we probably wouldn't have been in it anyway if we'd...
Screwed over but, once again.
I know. And just like the budget, we it's not working out well for Australians at the moment.
No, you can only getting screwed over so many times in 1 week. In fact, in a 24-hour period.
That's right. But nevertheless, that is something they're running at the moment. Obviously, more community and brand awareness, NBA Live 14, as they continue to build up their profile, this being the comeback year and all. Speaking of contests, also posted a little bulletin before we started recording this evening. Since I was the one running the whole thing, drew a winner for the NBA 2K14 PC Steam Key giveaway. Congratulations to Armand for winning it. Thank you to everyone who listened to the podcast last week and entered. Emailed me with the your entries. Yep, unfortunately, there can only be one winner, and we do have one more key to give away, so stay tuned. I'll be doing another giveaway for that very soon. And as I mentioned on the show last week, I also have some copies of NBA Live 14 on both PlayStation 4 and Xbox One that EA very generously gave to me to give away, so we'll also be doing a giveaway for that. Those are not digital copies, so I'm obviously going to have to foot the bill on the postage, so... if you live somewhere close. No, we'll get that to you one way or the other. I just want to figure out exactly what we want to do for that one. Might do something a bit more fun.
As soon as we can afford a carrier pigeon.
That's right, yeah. Well, if Australia Post doesn't get sold off.
Yeah.
But we will be having some more giveaways. So look out for that if you want some free stuff. Basically, there'll be no purchase necessary with our contest. Running down some of the news items this week. Ben, you brought up to me before we started recording that the NBA 2K14 patch number 5 for NBA 2K14 next gen should be dropping anytime soon, because that 10 to 14 day expected period, waiting period for the approval is about up, I think. I think this is 2 weeks today, isn't it?
If not, it'd be day 12 or 13 at most. But yeah, it'd be very, very close to that time. So here's hoping that it probably will happen like 30 minutes after we finish recording this podcast tonight.
As with everything else that we do when we talk about it, we pick a great day to record, the midweek.
Yeah.
Wednesday our time, it seems to come out, all the great stuff comes out midweek in the States. So, yes. But once again, we don't know anything about that, apart from the fact that it's going to have a shoe update and presumably some minor fixes. We're hoping maybe a couple of gameplay and mode issues addressed, some balancing maybe for the virtual currency. But, of course, as we discussed on a previous show, the fear is that the rewards are just going to be nerfed. It's not going to work out as well for us, but I guess we'll see. Once again, they're not releasing the patch notes until the patch comes out, which doesn't inspire confidence, makes me think it's going to be something that people don't really want. Otherwise, there'd be no reason to bury the lead, but we'll see. I mean, people have obviously been enjoying NBA 2K14. You're still playing it, Ben, in fact.
Yeah, started getting back into it probably the last couple of days, and that just to get prepared for the patch, and I've just played maybe about three games in my career at the moment. That's about it.
Got a few couple of highlights for the
that one that I submitted. Yeah, that the first one I submitted with the dunk over Earl Clark. That was from the first game I played the other night, and the second one that I submitted was a play early in the stages. I think maybe when I just started. Yeah, when I started my second my career after the whole little glitch problem that happened before the patch that fixed it from when having connection issues with the VC and that. So, yeah.
And of course, that as good a time as I need to remind everyone that we are still running the top 10 plays of the week. Leon, as we've mentioned before, is running that now. He's been running that for the last few weeks. And yeah, I think people are still enjoying it, still submitting their highlights. I've had a couple in there. I'm still gunning for number one myself because John and Pat have got it. So yeah, I want my shot top of the ladder. So
would you be cut if I got it first entry?
Well, you know, you did actually create it, the top 10, and so you know, it would only be fitting. But then again, I'm running the site.
Choose wisely, Leah.
Yeah, that's right.
How much do you value business?
Who's got more power to, you know, more control behind the scenes and with the logins and everything? Yes. Lots of people having fun. Some great plays coming in, of course. At the moment, we're putting every Sunday is when we're posting the top 10, which probably makes more sense, I guess, being the end of the week, the start of the week. But nevertheless, that is coming out every Sunday night and Australian time at any rate, perhaps Sunday morning in your neck of the woods, dear listener. So be sure to get your entries in by Saturday, by the end of Saturday, basically, to make sure they're absolutely sure they're in. Otherwise, I believe Sunday morning we'll still get in there, but get them in as soon as you can each week, and yeah, for your chance to get in the top 10. Speaking of features, I posted another story thread interview this week with Lamrock this time, talking about his various dynasty and association threads and what motivates him. It was just a little feature we're going to be doing over the next few weeks. We've got a few more lined up. I might even interview myself. Oddly, I've got the questions there, so I can fill in my answers. So check them out if you're interested in the story threads, and check out the story threads forum, of course. And we have some sticky threads in there with some tips if you want to entertain people with your stories. Just running down a couple of other news items before we get to some discussion this week. You don't have the PC version of NBA 2K14, Ben, but the Jam 2K14 mod continues to be developed by Big Hort, by Brendan. And at my suggestion, he very kindly added a meme team, which is it's going to be a collection of players like Yinkadare and Derek Martin and Darko Milicic and Adam Morrison, basically all the players that we like to, who didn't really have great careers, but we'd like to talk about like they're superstars. And Joel Anthony, of course. The greatness of this Joel Anthony, like all that is going to be those players making up the six-man squad on for the meme team. He's already added it in the latest version. I think he's still working on the roster though, because it appeared to be a retro Bucks team on the roster when I downloaded it and checked it out today. But the jerseys are in the game, some NBA Jam custom jerseys, and looking really good. And it's definitely fun to play, as John has been saying in recent weeks. So check that out. It's in the NBA 2K14 total conversion section of the downloads database. And one final note that John, as I said, can't be with us this week. He's got other commitments. But Red MC will be getting the IF editing very soon. I just had Vlad has just posted a preview in the forum in the last 24 hours. And John's been the one who's been doing all the testing. I can't really say much about it except for what he's told us. But it's looking really, really great to be able to do all the stuff we can. What we want to do with the art editing, which has always been the tough side of things with 2K relying rather on tools that are a couple of years old, but it's coming along, and you can check out some previews in the sticky thread for Red MC in the NBA 2K14 releases and preview section of the NLSC forum, and a public release is coming soon. Vlad is just working on licensing and purchasing details at the moment, so stay tuned, and I'm sure John will have more information when we get him back on the show. But I think that's pretty much it for the news. Oh, actually, one last item that I haven't posted on the main page yet. But I was just telling you before before we started recording, Ben,
yep,
that NBA Jam on Android has received another update.
Yes.
Nothing to get too excited about. Well, depending on how you like the game, of course. No roster update this time. The last update that they pushed through a little bit earlier this year, or was it late last year?
I think it was earlier this year.
It was earlier this year. Yeah. This year's just gone so quick, man.
No way.
it's lost track of late 2013, early 2014. But unlike that,
sorry, yeah, but you're telling me because it's been 10 months since my iPhone started.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, it was like wow.
Yeah, almost a year. Yeah. And almost a year since E3 when we did those E3 shows last year with Leftos.
Yep.
The mini episodes that still went over an hour. Still fun though, so go check those out. We probably won't be doing that this year, but we'll definitely be covering everything at E3 within over a couple of weeks span of the NLSC podcast, of course. But in any event, NBA Jam did receive an update on Android. It doesn't appear as though the iOS version was updated. It's last updated, just looking at the online listing here on iTunes, 2011. December 9th, 2011. So basically, it received a couple of roster updates back in the day, but it hasn't been updated since. But the Android version did get that update earlier this year, which added current rosters. Haven't been updated since. Rudy Gay is still on the Toronto Raptors. They did account for the Luol Deng trade, so a couple of moves from this past season, and they've added new audio for the New Orleans Pelicans and Brooklyn Nets. But as I was giving you a listen over Skype earlier before we started recording, Ben, the voice is very different.
Oh yeah,
it's not Tim Kitzrow. That was in the earlier update this year. The latest one, however, it adds online multiplayer using a Google Plus account. So once again, Google Plus continues to stick around for all those who love Google Plus and how it's infiltrated YouTube comments. By the way, you can follow us on Google Plus. Just click the link on the top of the NLSC. Yes, you've got online multiplayer with the Google Plus accounts. They've got leaderboards and some new in-game achievements. So yeah, I guess they're still updating it. That's been outsourced to a third party, the mobile version of NBA Jam for Android devices. So I've posted a review. You can check that out on the site, of course, in the NBA Jam on Fire Edition. The NBA Jam, rather, sub-site. Of course, you can also check my review of NBA Jam on Fire Edition out. That's in the NBA Jam on Fire Edition sub-site. Or by clicking the reviews link at the top of any page on the main site. But it's a decent game, Ben. I know you haven't played it yet, but it's not bad for a touchscreen game, but games like that, I really feel need a controller in your hands,
yeah,
to really get the experience. It's a little awkward, but not bad for some mobile gaming.
I've played a couple of pretty good actual little basketball NBA touch games on mobile. So yeah, I don't know. There's just some decent market for some entertainment for a little while. So yeah,
it's kind of the thing where you're traveling on a train or a bus or something.
Yep.
If you've got a long trip ahead of you. And you're preferably not driving, you can spend some time with it. But that has so it's received an update. If you want to check that out, I'm guessing most people who have Android in the game will have already got the push notification. But nevertheless, I thought I'd check it out. But yes, no updated rosters, just a couple of extra features for online gaming with Google Plus. But I do think that brings us to more or less the end of just the quick news items. But another news item that we could perhaps discuss a little bit, a little bit of controversy, and Kotaku was reporting on it, of course. But EA are shutting down various servers. None of them for the basketball games at this time, but some very popular games, especially ones that were using the servers by GameSpy, which of course is shutting down. Some of the Call of Duty, yeah, it's Call of Duty, aren't they?
Yeah,
at a mental blank there. It's I don't play those games, so I forget which.
I've never played a Call of Duty game.
Yeah, which of the competing games is made by which publisher? I've mental blank there. But
Activision makes Call of Duty.
Sorry,
Activision make Call of Duty.
Am I thinking Battlefield?
That's EA. Yeah,
Battlefield. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. My apologies. Battlefield servers and a couple of the other. I think it's about 50 games all up. I think the most recent one's about 2006, 2007. So the servers have been online for quite some time, basically. But naturally, the EA doesn't have the best reputation, so a lot of people, you know, the evil EA take it away from. But I mean, we see this with every company that has online support.
Yeah, it eventually ends. So yeah, it's a money constraint too. I mean, there's a lot of money for, like, you say, if only maybe like 100 people in the world are actually playing the game still because of how dated it is, you know, it's not worth the thousands, I suppose, that they'll put into it. So yeah,
the money, the time to maintain the servers, that kind of thing. Yeah, for the official servers, and everyone does it. The servers for NBA 2K13 were shut down in March. Take-Two, Visual Concepts, 2K, you might as well call them 2K, is shut down the servers because moving on to 2K14, I'm guessing 2K14 servers will be shut down around about the same time next year. That's just the way it goes. And I think even in the instructions and the EULA and everything, it mentions that they only guarantee online for a year for most games, I think.
Yeah.
Especially for yearly releases like sports, the sports titles with NBA Live and NBA 2K. I mean, I understand people's frustration. I'm not an online gamer, so it doesn't affect me much anyway. And it is just the online portion of things. And of course, you can have the third-party servers, but it's funny because they are the old games, and I can kind of relate to it actually, because with the roster updates for older games, the older NBA Lives that people ask me to do sometimes, when there's only a couple of people wanting them, really, and the demand's not there, it's a lot of time and effort.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't cost me money to make them, really, but it doesn't cost them at all. But it's, I mean, people are calling EA selfish, but I think it's when we complain about that, I feel that we as gamers are being kind of selfish, because we want them to, basically it's saying, you're going to provide this service until I get sick of it, you know, until I'm done with you. And I feel, I mean, most of the people who ask for the rosters are very understanding. I've had great support over the years. Don't want to alienate anyone, but there are some people who have that mentality that, you know, you will provide this, you will keep doing this until I no longer have interest. And at some point, I've had to say, well, I don't really have the time or the energy, the willingness, the enjoyment level to do the rosters anymore. There's other things I want to spend my time doing. For the site or otherwise in my private time. And if you look at a company like EA, it's like, well, we can only put out the resources for so long. Or 2K or Activision or anyone who wants to support an online server, everyone, it shuts it down. And, you know, I don't want to talk about entitlement, because that's a sore point in Australia at the moment, talking about entitlement. But I think gamers sometimes we can be a bit entitled when it comes to expecting that, when, like you said, there's only 100 people now playing the game from originally thousands, hundreds of thousands for the most popular titles. And it's whittled down to a couple of thousand or less. It doesn't become economically or viable or any stretch of the imagination to actually keep doing it.
Exactly. And yeah, I mean, they want to pump the money resources that they have into newer projects and stuff like that. So yeah, and we all know that gaming development's expensive as hell. Like, you know, say sports gaming, is with it being a yearly release, could cost like 25, 30 million US just to develop one title. Could come closer to 50 depending on the size of the team, and like probably like a FIFA, you know, that could probably be closer to the 50 million mark. But they'll make the money from that because of the huge install base.
I mean, not to mention the licensing
Oh yeah,
agreements for some of
exactly,
these leagues.
exactly. You know, and yeah, that this doesn't go towards just the development costs. Yeah, it goes into the marketing, to paying the staff, to developing the tools and technology. Yeah, the partners and official sponsors and stuff like that. You know, to pay for the royalties and rights to use logos or products. You know, those shoes don't come cheap for in-game.
No,
So yeah,
that's
they
right,
come at a
yeah.
cost. So yeah.
And obviously, if it's the ones that GameSpy are shutting down their servers, then EA is kind of over a barrel in respect. And again, I don't want to be an EA apologist or a fanboy or anything, but every company does it, and it's fair enough that if you've been supporting something, it's kind of like Microsoft actually ending support for XP back in April. I mean, they supported that for 13 years, longer than any other
Product at that.
operating system. So, and having upgraded to Windows 7, you know, I wouldn't go back to XP, except although I do have it installed for a on my virtual machine, simply so I can play some old games. But apart from that, as a primary operating system, and certainly now that it's not getting security updates, I wouldn't be going back to XP. But I mean, there's only so long anyone can support a product. I mean, products do get discontinued, and the thing is, it's not talking about online DRM, because you can always just push through a patch for that. The single player stuff is still going to be playable for all those games. And again, I'm talking about games I don't play. You can tell because I call Call of Duty an EA title, and as you pointed out, it's Activision. Battlefield is the EA's game that they publish.
And also Medal of Honor and Bad Company.
Yes. So again, I haven't really been a first person shooter guy since Duke Nukem 3D. And Duke Nukem Forever didn't really get me back into it. So I'm just talking about in very vague terms here. But as I understand it, the single players for those is still going to work. I know a lot of the value's in the online play. But there, as people did point out in the comments, obviously there was fair share of bashing. But other people pointed out, well, yes, you can do the third party unofficial service for the online. It's the way it goes. But as far as it pertains to us, Ben, and we've talked about this before, because NBA Live 14 and 2K14 have a lot of online components to them,
Yeah.
and it makes me wonder what you can actually do as far as replay value. I mean, say they did shut the servers down fairly sooner than usual. Somebody who wanted to pick up Live 14 really cheap wanted to bargain bin it and just
What the hoop
see what it
up,
was
yeah.
like. You know, they're not necessarily going to be playing it. Or someone like myself who might want to go back and play it just to see what it's like, either for a if I'm writing a feature, for example, on for the Friday Five or whatever. If I want to go back and play, there's going to be things that I presume are going to be inaccessible. Although with NBA Live 10, you had to use the EA's upload service to get screenshots. Of course, with the PS4, we don't need
No.
that. We can do that, so that's good.
Yeah,
But
good old EA Sports World that only held like five
oh,
clips.
having to delete the clips, yeah,
Yeah.
that was.
Yeah, it was limiting and that. But it was a start, but yeah,
It was a way to get it.
yeah, but it's so much easier now.
Yeah, I'm glad both consoles have gone for the sharing and streaming options, no doubt, especially with the PS4's share button. But yeah, it does concern me somewhat that if too much is online, that it depends on not. I suppose, especially with sports games, they're figuring people are going to come to the latest and the best and all that. But I don't think it's always the case. I mean, there's people that and Live 14 is probably not going to go down as a classic. I've been enjoying it and everything, but it I certainly readily admit that there's room for improvement, and not you know, it may not be a game like, say, 2K11 that people really still like and can still play. But having said that, I mean, moving forward, it's my concern about this generation of console games that, you know, it's almost like online DRM in a way, when a lot of the features rely on the online content.
Agreed. Yeah, it will be interesting to see how long they support it post season ending, and you know, when the new titles come out, you know, will it be 1 year, will it be two, or maybe even potentially a 5 year thing? It just
Yeah.
purely depends. So it's going to be a an interesting experience, I guess.
A wait and see kind of thing,
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, with NBA Live 10, they ran it for a long time, But they didn't have a game out, so that they did extend that a little extra. They did the extra year of updates and everything, so it's kind of a different situation. They did have the servers open for NBA Live 08 on PC open for a fair while. So, and I think they shut down the servers for Jam, the first Jam release on 360 and PS3 last year at the same time as NBA Live 10 as well,
Yeah, and
on
support
Fire
for
Edition.
NCAA basketball.
Yes, or that basically that whole year of releases. But NBA Jam on Fire Edition is still supported online, and that's and it doesn't look like there's a new Jam coming out. So as long as people are playing that, I suppose that's still going to be around. So good. Whenever I want to turn my 360 on again, but it is something that is concerning about this generation and the cloud saves. I mean, I understand, and I work in IT, so I'm certainly not anti technology and anti these technologies in particular. But I still like having that the local saves, and especially when it comes to rosters. That is one thing that bugs me, having to load and download the rosters on when I go to each mode in NBA Live 14. Not so much a problem with 2K14, but again, they've still got the rosters online as well, and to share them, you basically customize them and upload them.
And
So,
especially like once you've made all these huge changes to, players' teams, all the accessories and all that crap, that's a lot of time. And then if it's updated in a way like fresh new main rosters and that overwrite all the changes, that kind of sucks for all the effort that you put into it. If you're unable to do like the,
having a few roster saves, save them, and of course with 2K you've got the limited amount of cloud storage. You can only have the two, is it two micros and three MyGMs, or is it the other way around?
I knew that was up to five, but I wasn't too sure if it was.
It's split across the two modes.
Okay, yeah, that's what but I didn't know if it was you could max out all five on one mode or you can split the two. I'm not 100% sure.
From memory, I must admit I haven't really been playing 2K because of the virtual currency. As I said before, it just really annoys me on those modes. If anything, I've been playing my team the most of all on that, as I've said before. But yeah, if I remember correctly, it's two for my career and three for my GM, which I guess for most people is sufficient. But and you can always delete it if it's not going the way you want. But I mean, they've got really big hard drives. I understand the need and the benefits of the cloud storage and everything, but yeah, don't forget about that local storage and the customization is basically what I'd say to both companies moving forward. But I do think that there is some overreaction and general hatred of EA that people write them off out of principle. That it's like, they all do it, and every single company is entitled, I think, to just as we are entitled to stop patching in the community. Nobody should do anything that's going to put them at a financial loss or a burden of any kind. So that is one where I actually think that gamers are being a little selfish or short-sighted or not really understanding perhaps the industry. Which, and of course, Ben, you've worked on some games before, so I guess, and I've met producers and we both talked to developers and everything. So, and I'm not saying that we know absolutely know everything, but perhaps some gamers. I think a lot of those comments come from gamers, not just this, but also when talking about developers being lazy or not caring or something. I think that comes from people who really perhaps don't have a real understanding or appreciation of game development.
Exactly. I mean, just to even do the simplest freaking task, especially if you're building a game from scratch and using, I'll use the example of the RPG Maker engine that I was using to make a couple of RPGs for. One was a solo project and one was a team project for police citizen youth clubs and other teen and youth orientated organizations and stuff like that. One of my tasks being the sort of main graphics guy, because we had a lot of people doing the programming aspect, but we didn't have too many people who could deal with like Photoshop or GIMP or anything like that. So my role was, because we wanted a lot of detail and the tile sets in this standard engine and that were very, very small. It was like you'd be able to fit like a couple of trees, one or two building kind of things that you'd be able to create like houses and shit. Oh, sorry, and stuff. Cha-ching,
Cha-ching.
yeah.
Almost missed it because John's usually on the cha-ching button.
Yeah, and Yeah, we really wanted a lot of detail, and because they're a PNG format, we were able to actually extend the map, the tile set textures and all that stuff, and so that way, if you were creating a map that was, say, like, it was 500 by 500 square, like, squares in a sense, and each square was about 32 by 32 pixels. So when you're creating a map that size for your characters to walk around in and all that stuff, you'd have a lot of diversity instead of the same tree repeated like hundreds of times and the same little hut houses and all that stuff. So yeah, and my job on that was extend tile sets, and because PNG was allowed 30,000 pixels by 30,000 pixels, but we obviously couldn't go that wide. So I think it was around 728 or something like that by 3,000 pixels for the maps. Actually, I can probably double check because I have one of the top.
But yeah, it's I mean, there's a lot that goes into
Yeah,
it,
and
and
that's
it's
just
yeah.
that. And then the next step is to do the collision detection and the.
And this stuff is not just typing in
Nope.
in plain English, and I think that people talk about the basketball games, of course, and it's not like typing in make Kobe play exactly like Kobe in real life. I'm sure the developers would love it if they could do that. They could probably save money on a lot of programmers if they could just type it in plain English.
Yeah, there's just a lot of work that goes underneath the hood to get it right. But yeah, the tile sets in that were huge, and then have someone, which was also a priority setting as well. So whether you could walk in front of the object, behind the object, or if you were to bump into the object, and the collision detection obviously helps in that sort of aspect. So there's three things just involved in that, and some of the tile sets in that, they had a color layer background, and you needed a transparency, so you had to remove that. And with some of the colors being very similar to ways, it could be fiddly. Then you also had characters, and again, you had to sort of do things like that with their sprites and all that.
And while you're doing this, there's not a lot of room to be lazy,
Nope.
lying around and goofing off and playing ping pong in some futuristic
Oh, which,
office setting. Yeah.
and because of the building that I was working at, it was government funded, so there wasn't a lot of money in it, so the computers that we had weren't great, to say the least. So, working on older hardware, I mean, we were using an older engine, so it wasn't so bad, but it takes time to work on the systems and stuff that we had.
Sure.
And then, you got to correspond with the people that you're working on the project, so your coders and that, and you got to create a storyline. Which changed a lot for ours because we had so many people come in and out of the project from when they finished their 6 months on on it. So yeah, and when new people came in, they didn't feel part of the story, so we had to rewrite it so that way they felt part of it. So yeah, there's a lot of little
Yeah.
factors like that that can alter it. Like this game project that I'd worked on, I worked on it for a year, and I mean, I left the project for about 2 months to work on another project for a company, and that, and again, that was building another game, and that was for autistic children and doing web design stuff. And then I came back, and yeah, there was, let's see, the game originally started out to, we were going to try and do a 3D model game, but we couldn't get the software in time, so then we found this cheaper option, and then we created a story which had like a fairy tale sort of element to it, but it was sort of like little twists on it. Then that changed probably about another five, six times throughout the course of the year. So, visions change when new people come in or just.
Which again was NBA Live's problem with the turnover in the staff.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can obviously attest and relate to that. And of course, you're making a game that's based on fiction, which means you've got those, you can take the liberties with reality, whereas a simulation sports game has to capture real life. So
Yeah,
it's a
exactly.
challenge. But as always, I don't want to make excuses. I mean, it's important that as gamers and consumers that we do critique constructively and say, look, this is what we want to see improved. This isn't good enough, etc. And that we don't sound like 14-year-olds ranting on YouTube is the main thing to remember as serious gamers that we are in this community. Well, we certainly can get geeky about these things, but yeah, basically to wrap up, interesting situation with it being shut down, and especially got me thinking about NBA Live 14 and the future. But I guess we'll see. As you said, we'll wait and see how that turns out. But hopefully, online features are not going to cripple the games in the future. But on that note, another plug for a feature on the site. Of course, John has been doing his Dumb Mondays, which is the new version of Dumb Fact Mondays. He's just also doing various discussion topics now, and this week's topic was whether modes like Ultimate Team and My Team are ruining our NBA games that we love so much. Interesting question, so definitely go check that out on the site. You can scroll down on the main page, of course, if depending on when you're listening to this, or click that go up to features up the top and go down to Dumb Mondays and check it out. And, of course, feel free to leave your comments on that article. But that's about all we have for the news and the video games this week, I believe. Mike, if we have some time at the end, we could come back to some general topics, but probably best we move on to some NBA stuff before we wrap up this evening.
Sounds like a plan.
So the NBA playoffs, of course, roll on. We are still in the second round. No one has made it through the conference finals yet, although that could change tomorrow. The Heat take on the Nets in Game 5, as do the Spurs. I believe they're playing tomorrow/today, again, from when we're recording this. By the time you hear this, it might have already been in the books, and you'll be saying, well, wasn't that a silly prediction? Let me just check the schedule. Yes, indeed, they are going one game alternating. Yes, Game 5 of both the Nets Heat and Blazers Spurs series, both at 3-1 in favor of the highest seed there. Ben, you're a Heat fan, obviously. The Brooklyn Nets did cause the Heat some problems during the regular season, but so far in their playoff matchup, Heat have been handling business.
Yeah, I did expect this to be a tough series. I expected it to go the full 7 games. I mean, it still can. The Nets have one game, so it's still a possibility.
I kind of doubt it, though. I think if they might win one more 6, but yeah, I don't know. This one's in Miami, so
true. Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, it's.
I don't want to sell the Nets short, of course, but like you said, it hasn't been as competitive as we perhaps thought. The Nets are kind of running out of steam.
Yeah, old age can do
it. Yeah, that's right. That seven game series with the Raptors in the first round. Deron Williams, though, one of the younger players, obviously, and I'm going to call him a young player, even though I believe he turns 30 this year if he hasn't already, just because other people might turn 30 this year, not mentioning names. yes. he went scoreless, 0 of 9 in one of the games. So, and Garnett's obviously he's I believe 38 and been in the league since 95. That makes me feel old, Ben. Because I remember him as a fresh-faced rookie in Minnesota, and being impressed by him in his early days, of course. But the Heat, obviously defending champs, they younger, certainly just about as experienced as the Nets, I guess, in many respects. Certainly a lot of experience under their belt the last couple of years winning the championships. You don't want to count the chickens before the hatch?
Yeah.
The Heat?
Yeah, I think the Nets are tougher competition. I mean, we know that they can be very aggressive in their tactics, and you know that's hurt the Heat like during the regular season, and obviously with you know KG and Pierce and all that in years past with the Celtics and that. So yeah, it's not out of the question that they could still force a potential Game 7, but I'm obviously hopeful, and I would like them to finish it off today/tomorrow, depending when you listen to this or when this is up and all that. So yeah, if it goes to Game 7, which is still what kind of I expect, just for the competitiveness of it.
Yeah, I could see the Heat winning. Sorry, the Nets winning one more unexpectedly, just to push it to six. But I think I did pick Heat in six in my in the predictions in the forum. But yeah, it certainly I was expecting it to perhaps be trading off victories. But once it gets to 3-1, it's a rare comeback, and I'm not sure whether these Nets have enough to make the 3-1 comeback club, which is also what the Blazers will have to do
Yeah.
against the Spurs, and that's. A fair few people were talking about the Blazers posing matchup problems with the Spurs, and they did actually win the last game quite convincingly. Portland did, but the first three games, the Spurs, yeah, they took care of business. They were blowouts, and that very aggressive play from Tony Parker, of course, our local favorite, Patty Mills. He's not doing too bad off the bench either, doing more than just waving towels. Although the NBA Australia Twitter does a hashtag towel wave whenever they talk about him, so which is a little insulting in some
Yeah,
ways. Now,
it's like pigeonholing him into just like being a
well, now that he's
electric
actually
pony.
playing,
Yeah.
now he's actually playing and not just waving a towel, it's all in fun, I suppose. But yeah, the Spurs were looking really good. They look a bit shabby in that last one, but they are up 3-1, and the next game is in San Antonio tomorrow, or today rather. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they finish that one out in five. I think the as much as overmatched as the Nets have looked at times, the Blazers have really looked overmatched in those first three games. So I think the Blazers are going out in five. Which now that I've said, that's probably going to mean they win. But if I had to pick one series to go, I'd probably say the Nets. Extending it simply because they were 4-0 against the Heat in the regular season and did have that strong play against them. But I think the Blazers just need a little bit something like a bench. Have you seen any of the box scores of those games or watched any of the games?
Yeah, I've watched probably about the last quarter of the Blazers and the Spurs ones a couple of times and a little bit of the Heat ones, yeah.
Basically, the Blazers have got no bench.
Yeah.
I mean, there are players on the bench. I think Mo Williams missed the last game or two with illness or injury. But apart from that, yeah, like all the scoring was coming from the starters. They rely very heavily on the starters, and to go anywhere,
Mo Will was in the last game.
he was in the last game. Okay,
Or
I know
am
he
I
missed.
thinking from the shot that Lillard did on yeah, I'm probably
Oh, well, he was definitely in that one, but I know he was missing the last game. Although I think they did win that. I think he missed the game they won. But yeah, if you take a glance at the box scores on that, the Blazers, it's pretty much their starting five, which is a fine starting five and all. But you really do need that
Extra depth.
off the bench to actually go anywhere, because there will come a time when there's foul trouble or injury or an off night where you really need that person to step up. And the Spurs have that. They've got a really good, they've got a fair bit of depth. Bellinelli was a good pickup for them, leaving the Bulls, of course.
Not bitter, not bitter at all. Keep it composed, keep it composed.
Well, Dan Levy's had his moments, it is what it is, of course. And well, that's why the Spurs are not only the Coach of the Year but also the Executive of the Year. The way they've been able to keep a team together and competitive for so many years, year after year, it's really quite impressive. Less impressive, the Indiana Pacers yesterday. Wow. Roy Hibbert, who we were obviously talking about last week because of his struggles, came on strong
Yeah.
for a couple of games there, posting some quite good numbers, reminiscent of the times that people actually thought, oh yes, this is an all-star player. Because he does have those tools and those abilities, but it's not been playing well in this postseason. Did bring it on, did come on in a couple of games there, and the Pacers were up 3-1. He even had a couple of defensive plays and a hook shot late in game four that helped seal that victory to go up 3-1. But he was again absent in game five, as was pretty much anyone except Paul George and David West, and even they weren't particularly hot either, scoring, I think, about 15 and 17 points between them. So, yep, they got blown out on their home court. So now it is going to go back to Washington for game six, where anything could happen. But I don't know. I mean, as good as they've been playing, and Gortat had a monster game in game five. Do you see the Wizards joining the 3-1 comeback club? Because I mean, they are 3-2 now, so they're one step closer to coming back from 3-1, I guess.
That one could probably just go to six, I think. I mean, if it goes to seven, awesome.
Yeah.
But
Well, it was pointed out they've both played well on each other's home court, so
yeah.
that I forget who it was on halftime. Whether it was, I think it might have been Kenny Smith. I don't think it was Charles Barkley or Shaquille O'Neal. Said they basically. Oh, actually, was it him or who was commentating? But somebody said during the game, one of the TNT guys. Can't remember whether it was during the. During the broadcast or at the halftime show, they should just pay to fly all their fans out of the city, because obviously playing in front of their home fans is not working out for them. It's kind of funny, but
road trip
yeah,
games, so
yeah,
road trip host.
I mean, we could see another situation where it comes down to seven, like with the Hawks, and then the Pacers just realize, yeah, we're the number one seed and actually got a pretty decent amount of talent if we play well. Let's get this done, and then who knows what's going to happen against Miami with a home court advantage to the Pacers this time. But yeah, I'll stick with the Pacers to do it either in six or seven. I don't think the Wizards are going to do it. I think inexperience and a lack of depth is going to come back to haunt them. Although you know that Wizards, we're not going to see the Wizards Grizzlies final, obviously. But we can still see Wizards Clippers. But yeah, it's I'd still stick with the Pacers. Simply go with the gut, go with the top seed, and that they were playing better. It's just they, but yeah, they really
just take that game.
Yeah, they can forget about Game Five, or certainly do their best to put it behind them, because that if it's like that, will not win the series, and certainly will not do against Miami when their time comes.
Well, that's kind of like the Spurs the other day against the Blazers. Like the Spurs were like. Was it 2 of 13 or 2 of 18 from 3-point line?
Yeah, yeah. And again, had a chance to close it out at home.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, it was.
Yeah, at home, yeah.
Yeah.
They had a chance to sweep. They had a chance to sweep, yeah.
And
now it's 3-1, yeah.
And
like we just said a couple of minutes ago when we were talking about
it. Yep. And, yeah, I think Patty Mills is the only player to hit the 2-3, so.
Towel wave, hashtag.
Yeah. So, yeah, we know realistically that the team is bound to have one bad game during probably each series, if not every second series, and that, depending on the thing. So, hope that's probably just that's probably going to be that one game that was just bound to happen. It's like you're eventually bound to lose at some stage. So, yeah.
Yeah. Any team is capable of beating another team on any given night. It may be unlikely to happen, but it certainly does. So no one's ever gone undefeated in the playoffs or regular season. Maybe for long stretches, but certainly not overall. So that will be played in a couple of games, in a couple of nights' time, the Game 6, and again, remains to be seen whether those teams can finish them off. Another series that will obviously be going at least six games, and at least one team will be hoping it goes seven, is the last series in the left in the playoffs in the semifinal round, the Thunder and the Clippers, which has been a fairly exciting series so far, with teams trading off wins. And you didn't see the game today, but I sent you the video of the final minute to watch. Bit of controversy in the game today, to put it mildly. Just to very quickly recap, the Thunder were down 101-88 with a few minutes, with very little time left in the game, but made a miraculous rally and certainly got the benefit of a few foul calls. But the biggest, the most controversial call was an out of bounds call on Reggie Jackson. Who lost the ball out of bounds, although it really looked like it should have been a foul. When they went to the replay, they determined that it came out off the Clippers and kept possession with the Thunder, which allowed them to then inbound. Russell Westbrook was fouled on a three-pointer, made the three free throws, went up, ended up giving up 105 to 104 after being down, as I said, 101-88. Chris Paul had a chance to win it at the buzzer, lost the ball. The Thunder managed to escape with a controversial but very exciting victory, nevertheless. I mean, this I'm kind of glad this happened, Ben. For one reason is that I actually talk about instant replay in my Friday Five article this week, and it was about overturning foul calls in the instant replay. So I'm glad it happened, because now it's even more relevant, because it already happened earlier in the playoffs. So yep, yay for me, I guess. But the controversy is, is that when they review the play, they can review whether it goes, who went out off, but they can't say, oh, that actually was a foul. We're going to change that call from out of bounds to a foul. They can't currently do that. I believe they should, and I go into more, check out this week's Friday Five when it comes out tomorrow for my take on it, my further take on it. But obviously, it did go out off Jackson, but there was a foul. But again, because of the way it's called, quite often, as I'm sure you've noticed, Ben, that they usually do the makeup call there where they say, well, it went out of him, but it was a foul, so we'll just say it was out off the person who fouled.
Yeah.
That's usually the way that they handle it, which is kind of the sometimes the kinder call rather than having someone foul out or get into foul trouble. But in this case, of course, you've got a replay, and the replay can only be who went in and out of, and who touched it last. So, you know, the right call to make, unfortunately, for the player who's fouled, Reggie Jackson, is that he touched the ball last. So technically, it by all rights, shouldn't have been the makeup call, but should have actually been Clippers' ball.
Yep.
So, and Doc Rivers certainly was not shy about letting that know, and I'm pretty sure a fine will be coming from some of the comments he made after the game.
I'd imagine so. But
I mean, that's certainly controversial. You've seen the footage. What's your take?
I think it's been a little problem this year with the Clippers. There's been some games where they had failed to close out. Looking at the replay from where Chris Paul lost the ball, there is a hand that goes, that swipes number 15, I think it is.
That's Reggie Jackson.
Oh, yeah. So that's the whole, yeah. Yeah, there's definitely, that should have been a foul call. I mean, because he got the call on the other end, didn't he, with the Matt Barnes situation.
Yeah, Matt Barnes basically fouled him, but it still went out of him, and that was what they reviewed. Yeah. The call on the floor was not a foul. It was the out of bounds, so that's what was reviewed, yeah.
Okay. So, I think, yeah, just maybe a bit of pressure just got to the Clippers a bit. But, yeah, I think just seeing that little bit where Chris Paul lost the ball at the end and that there was a arm across the wrist or on the forearm and that should have been a call. But it has been a situation for the Clippers this year where they couldn't close out a game when they should have. So it's kind of a bit of a repeat of that circumstance.
Well, and Doc Rivers, to his credit, and a lot of the Clippers players, Griffin and Paul himself, said that we did blow it. We missed shots. We had sloppy turnovers.
Yeah, and when you,
and
when,
and they did.
Yeah, and they were like one of six of their last few shots. So that's not going to win games. So yeah, that was just.
And if you don't make those mistakes and you do make those shots, it doesn't really matter if certain calls are made incorrectly, because frankly you're going to close out the game anyway.
Yeah.
By making those shots and not committing those sloppy turnovers.
From what I can see, the whole last few minutes was the Clippers were more about, especially probably the last, because it's about the last minute and 68 seconds or something, isn't it, that you sent me the clip of where it plays?
Yes, about the last minute or so,
okay.
Yeah.
They were more about just trying to hold the ball up, you know, trying to get that win. But, yeah, it...
And then Chris Paul anticipates that foul and commits the turnover,
yep.
Because Westbrook gets the deflection.
Yep. So, yeah, they kind of got stumbled by their own plan in that sense. So, and I think they just panicked. But, yeah...
What I don't like is I'm starting to see people turning on the Thunder. I mean, people are kind of against the Thunder because of the whole Sonics situation anyway.
Yeah.
But turning on the Thunder and Durant and saying that the league is trying to get them to win,
it's like the whole Heat situation again.
But were they also saying that about the Heat? And then there was the dismissal, oh, no, that's wrong, that's just hating. And then the NBA's conspiring. The people who are defending Donald Sterling for whatever reason. The NBA's conspiring with all this for the Clippers. So the NBA is conspiring to do all these things that apparently contradict with all the other conspiracies. I mean, there were calls that were questionable, no doubt, but the Clippers had a chance to win it. So unless they threw that game under the NBA's orders, they put themselves, they left the door open. They left the door open to get screwed by bad calls, unfortunately for them,
yeah.
Because they had the turnovers and the missed shots. And it should be noted, and Charles Barkley had a great take on it on Inside the NBA on TNT. And he also said, and you know, idiots are going to be debating this for the next 24 hours, so here we are on a podcast. The idiots that Sir Charles is referring to, no doubt. But he had a good take about, again, with the referees and everything, that it does come down to, you can analyze this call or that call, but it then you can also go back and look at this play or that play that they that ultimately led to the Clippers blowing the lead.
Yeah.
And there were plays that I know Jamal Crawford drew yet another 4-point play. I think he's the all-time leader, isn't he, in 4-point plays, Jamal Crawford?
Yeah, I know we've had
He's certainly made a career out of it. But he drew another one that was a kind of a soft call. I mean, but you overlooked that one because that wasn't the deciding call kind of thing. So it's
Remember, a game's 48 minutes long, not 68 seconds long. So
exactly, yeah. So a lot went into to blowing that lead, but it is always unfortunate when controversy like that overshadows the series. But I kind of not to I don't going to bandwagon either team. You know, I'm a Bulls fan through and through. But as far as the teams at the left, I actually kind of like both the Clippers and the Thunder. It's a shame that one of them is going to have to go home from this series. So I can kind of just sit back and enjoy the drama and the controversy. Is like it was an exciting finish, as you can see from that video that I sent you. It's just crazy comeback finish.
It's kind of like the T-Mac against the Spurs with the 13 points in 38 seconds or 48 seconds.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very rare and just kind of a bit of a spectacle. So. Yeah, I enjoyed it for what it was. Again, I don't have a horse in the race, so to speak. So whoever wins, I'm happy with, and except for the fact that I would kind of like them both to advance. Can we move one of them over to the East for the Eastern Conference Finals? If the Pacers aren't going to do very well, maybe they and the Wizards can both go home, and we can just put the Thunder or the Clippers in the Eastern Finals. But again, a shame that it overshadowed it, but I think we like to focus a bit too much on the officiating, and I know I'm guilty of it too, you know. So I'm not going to get off my high horse and say, "Oh, I've never railed against the officiating," because, well, it's Joey Crawford, but he wasn't in this one. He wasn't in this one, so it could have been worse.
Yeah,
maybe. So. But anything else that you've noticed recently in the NBA or otherwise about that game? I did just see that Stan Van Gundy is apparently going to be the Pistons coach and president.
Oh yeah, they had talks. It was like a $35 million offer, wasn't it?
It's certainly generous, yeah.
And I think Steve Kerr's close to accepting
close to a decision. Yeah,
about the Knicks offer for a coach. So.
And meanwhile, Mike Brown has been fired.
Yes. Did anyone not see that coming?
Yeah, which. Which, as Benji pointed out in the forum, pretty much I think the first and only, the only time so far that a former coach of the year has been fired twice by the same team. Brian Hill with the Magic. Coach of the Year. Oh, yes. Yeah, he was Coach of the Year at one point, I believe. I should have checked that. But he put out the question, has anyone else happened to anyone else? Don Nelson won Coach of the Year with the three times, actually, twice with the Bucks, once with the Golden State Warriors, had two stints with the Warriors. He was not fired per se. He resigned, but it's one of the, I think it was one of those, both cases, one of those you resign or you're fired kind of deals. So
take your pick. It's like, do you want it in the head or in the other?
It's kind of funny with a small group there. I'm just looking up Brian Hill because I think in the early 90s he was a coach. No, he was not. He was fired twice by the same. He had two stints with the Orlando Magic, I believe. Yes, he did. 93-97 and 2005-2007. Yeah, there you go.
Man,
10 years apart.
The only way I can describe that whole situation, it's like being dunked by the same chick twice. That sadly happened. Yeah.
But so Mike Brown is out, and he's that's after 1 year. So he's getting paid a lot of money on that five year contract to not coach. And you remember he's been paid by the Lakers for a couple of years before that.
Dude's living on Easy Street.
Well, he's certainly earned a decent amount of money for not coaching teams, and I brought that up, and Benji again pointed out also Larry Brown finished off a few tenures quite early, a few contracts rather early, and was paid out quite a bit of money. So, yeah, not bad work if you can get it,
Yeah.
I suppose.
I'll throw my hand up as a coach.
Yeah, you'll get fired after half a season. Doesn't really matter. He's kind of set up for life, I
Oh,
suppose. And, one final note I just saw in regards to the Pacers Wizards game 5. Wizards out rebounded the Pacers by 39 in that rout. So get beaten on the boards. That's what's going to happen. But anything else you wanted to bring up this week? I think we've reached about the end of the NBA discussion.
Yeah. I didn't have much else or anything else. Yeah.
Not to worry then. So I'll just throw out a few more plugs for things around the site. Don't forget, of course, to check out the features, the upcoming Friday 5, the Dumb Mondays, the Tuesday Triple, both by Jia Ming, of course, and the NLSC Top 10 Plays of the Week on Sunday. Speaking of the videos, haven't really promoted it much, but we do want to start doing a bit more with our YouTube channel. Obviously, the Top 10 is a start. That is youtube.com/NBA Live Series Center, because we can't change that to NLSC, and I don't want to upload all the videos again, as I said. but definitely...
just use your imagination, people.
Yeah. It really bothers you that we've got 2K videos there. You know, come on. It's just a username. Please subscribe to that and look out for some more content in the upcoming, in the future, rather. And, of course, the top 10 every week is being posted there. The story thread interviews will continue. And if you haven't actually gotten in touch with me about taking part in those and you've maintained a story thread over the years, feel free to hit me up in the sticky thread in the story section or shoot me a PM. But as for this podcast, we are, of course, on iTunes, so please feel free to subscribe there. And we'll continue to streaming it here on the NLSC, of course. We're on Twitter, at the NLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. The NLSC itself is nba-live.com if you happen to have stumbled across this podcast from elsewhere, or just need a reminder of what to type in when you want to check out your basketball video game discussion each and every day, as you should. But that is pretty much going to do it for episode number 78. We'll be back next week, of course. I hope you enjoyed it. But in the meantime, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Arcane, and I didn't make fun of the... Oh, I didn't really make fun of the Xbox One today, so... Yay, I was a good boy.
Almost made it through an episode 2.
Yeah.
See you next week. Yeah.